Mr. Krenzelman, are you here?
Yes, I am. May I begin?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Matthew Krenzelman, and I represent the petitioner Pedro Cano Oyarzabal. In this case, the petitioner was found to be ineligible for cancellation removal after the immigration judge and Board of Immigration Appeals found that he was convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude. In this case, the specific crime was that he would plead guilty to knowingly fleeing or attempting to elude a traffic officer by increasing the speed of his vehicle in an attempt to flee. In making this determination, the immigration judge believed that the crime, and the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals believed that the crime was both categorically a crime involving moral turpitude, and even if he had examined the crime under the modified categorical approach, they also believe that it was a crime involving moral turpitude. In this case, the statute can clearly be divided in three ways, and that was found by the court in Wisconsin in State versus Beeman. The three ways in which the statute can be violated are when someone increases the speed of their vehicle, when they extinguish the lights of their vehicle, or by a wanton or willful disregard of the signal, meaning the police officer's signal, so as to interfere with or endanger the officer, vehicles, or pedestrians. In this case, the Wisconsin courts have found that a person can be nearly traveling the speed limit and still violate the increasing the speed of the vehicle part of the statute under which the petitioner was convicted under. In addition, someone could merely turn off their lights, and this could even be some time when it's light outside and they could be convicted of the statute. This should not be a crime involving moral turpitude due to the fact that those two items, when looking at the statute alone, cannot be found to involve moral turpitude. Therefore, the court should be required to consider this a divisible statute and go to the modified categorical approach. Under the modified categorical approach, the court is only able to look at the elements of the statute after looking at the items of the conviction.
Mr. Krenzelman?
Yes?
Why does the modified categorical approach apply to the moral turpitude finding? I understand you're relying on Moncrief against Holder, but Moncrief deals with the definition of aggravated felony. Has the Supreme Court or this court ever held that the modified categorical approach applies to defining crimes of moral turpitude?
It has, I believe, in Ali versus Mukasey.
In which case?
I believe Ali versus Mukasey.
You should go ahead. We will look it up.
Okay, I'm sorry, Your Honor. In using the modified categorical approach in Descamp, which goes through the modified categorical approach when reviewing, extending the holding in Moncrief, the court is only allowed to look at the elements of the statute after examining which element of the divisible statute, which element the petitioner was convicted under the divisible statute. They're not able, in this case, the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals looked at the exact facts of the case in following Silva Trevino, which I believe Moncrief and Descamp overruled. In finding that using the modified categorical approach, the immigration judge found that the petitioner traveled in speeds of up to 80 to 90 miles per hour, and that he ran a stop sign and extinguished his vehicle lights. The immigration judge was only able to find this by looking at documents which were provided to the court. However, Descamp explicitly says that this kind of analysis can cause, can lead to unjust results because in this case, in these types of cases, the reviewing court may be looking at facts that, you know, if, someone who may have committed the same crime may not have certain documents available to him, or the court may not have certain documents to review, and they may come to a different analysis of the crime and a different finding of moral turpitude based on the work that the prosecuting attorneys or the investigating authorities did in coming to the original conviction. So Descamp and Moncrief, when read together, the immigration adjudicator has to look at what the least of the acts criminalized under the conviction statute are. And while in this case, a person could, like, as I explained before, a person could be convicted for merely increasing his vehicle to within the speed limit without harming anyone or without putting anyone's life in danger. This explicitly differs from the statutes which the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals examined in May and Matter of Ruiz Lopez, the Board of Immigration Appeals case. In those cases, the elements of wantonness and explicit threat to someone's life were explicitly in the offense, or implicitly in the offense. The respondent in comparing the statute in Wisconsin case and to the statutes in May, which is the Illinois statute, and the statute in Washington, said that there was not enough of a difference and that they were substantially similar. However, the statute in May requires speeding at over 21 miles per hour, which this court in May explicitly stated that someone would know that there was a great danger of harm to someone. While in this statute, in the Wisconsin statute, a person could be convicted of it even though they may be just going by the speed limit. Under Matter Silva Trevino, which the respondent urges that this court use in making its determination, the immigration agency is able to first identify whether the conviction is categorically a CIMT by saying that under all circumstances does the crime involve moral turpitude, and if not, they're able to go to the modified categorical approach, which would involve looking at a charging document, plea agreements, any other background charging conviction documents in making their determination whether the crime does involve moral turpitude. In this case, this directly contradicts the Supreme Court's finding in Moncrief and Descamp because the court is not able to look at the background documents because, as I stated before, that would lead to unjust results. I reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Cohen.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Yudhya Cohen on behalf of the Respondent Attorney General. Mr. Cano's Wisconsin conviction for fleeing or attempting to elude a police officer is a crime involving moral turpitude, rendering him inadmissible and ineligible for cancellation of removal. The Immigration and Nationality Act does not define the term crime involving moral turpitude, and this Court has explained that it's an open-ended term, the meaning of which the Board and other immigration officials are required and entitled to flesh out. In so doing, the Attorney General has held that the finding of moral turpitude requires both that a perpetrator have committed a reprehensible act with some form of scienter. The Board has long held that conduct is morally turpitudinous, where it is inherently based...
Is that a word, by the way, turpitudinous?
It's been a matter which has been debated and discussed in our community on many occasions, yet the courts and attorneys have used it regularly.
The courts and attorneys aren't the highest authorities on English. Can you find it in the OED?
I certainly have found it in decisions of other courts of appeals.
No, I asked a precise question. Can you find it in the OED? Maybe you haven't looked.
I'm sorry, I have not looked, Your Honor.
Thank you.
You'll forgive me, but I'll continue to use that term for lack of a better term, unless Your Honor has a suggestion for another term. But the
you
board has long held.
You don't have to try to turn everything into an adjective or an adverb. Yeah. Just refer to it as a crime of moral turpitude.
The board has long held that a crime involves moral turpitude, whereas inherently base, vile, or depraved, and contrary to the rules of morality and the duties owed between persons or to society in general. The agency properly determined that a conviction under Wisconsin Statute Section 346.043 falls within this definition. As explained by the board, Mr. Cano failed to carry his own burden in demonstrating that his conviction was not a crime involving moral turpitude, where he failed to demonstrate under the categorical approach that there is a realistic probability, not a theoretical possibility, that this statute applies to conduct which does not involve moral turpitude. This is the standard set forth by the Supreme Court in Gonzales versus Duenas Alvarez, a standard which applies both to the categorical approach, the formal categorical approach, as well as step one of matter of Silva Trevino. Therefore, it applies whether the court were considering the CIMT analysis or categorical approach. Your Honors, operating a vehicle to flee or to attempt to elude a police officer is seriously...
By the way, I've just looked it up in the OED. It's not there.
Then you'll forgive me, Your Honor. Operating a vehicle to flee or attempt to elude a police officer is seriously wrongful behavior that violates the accepted rules of morality and the duties owed generally to society. The board's opinion in this case is consistent with board and circuit precedent. For example, in May, this court upheld the board's determination that aggravated fleeing in violation of Illinois law is a crime involving moral turpitude. The court based its decision on its determination that aggravated fleeing under Illinois law requires both scienter and reprehensible conduct, explaining that a person who deliberately flees at a high speed from an officer who the fleer knows wants him to stop, thus deliberately flouting lawful authority and endangering the officer and others, is deliberately engaged in wrongful behavior.
But this does, Wisconsin statute doesn't require high speed, does it? It's just an increase of speed, which could still be below maybe even the speed limit.
That is correct, but it wasn't that particular portion of the statute or that feature of the statute which makes it one that involves moral turpitude. It's the fact that an individual knowingly, after receiving an audible or visual signal from an officer, flees or attempts to elude the police officer, which is what makes it a crime involving moral turpitude. The Supreme Court of Wisconsin has explained that, yes, there are three ways in which the court can determine the mens rea element, whether it was a knowing attempt to elude or fleeing from the police officer. So yes, one can increase the speed, one can extinguish the lights, or one can attempt to elude by willful or wanton disregard of such signals so as to interfere with or endanger.
Well, isn't there a big difference between going at least 21 miles an hour over the speed limit and just increasing the speed? I mean, are you really saying that if somebody increases speed 1 mile per hour, that could cause increased danger to others?
Ultimately, the burden was on the petitioner, and under the rule set forth in Gonzales versus Duenas Alvarez, the petitioner had to demonstrate a realistic probability, not a mere theoretical possibility. And this is what the immigration judge and the board said to him. They said, you imagine scenarios which might be prosecuted under this statute, but you don't point us to a single decision of the Wisconsin court, which indicates that the state actually does prosecute those factual scenarios under this statute of conviction. And this was exactly what the board had said in its decision. And petitioners failed to demonstrate, even in his opening brief, that the Wisconsin courts do punish conduct which he imagines might be punishable under the statute. And as mentioned, it is the knowing, fleeing, or attempting to elude the officer, regardless of which of the three ways it's done, which is what makes it a crime involving moral turpitude.
And so just forgetting the cases for a minute, it's your view that going more than a mile per hour over really causes an increased danger to others. I mean, I understand he couldn't give you any examples in the case law, and the statute doesn't really spell that part out. So
the
your
Supreme
view
Court,
is 1 mile is sufficient.
The Supreme Court has explained that invariably, confrontation with the police is the expected result of vehicle flight. And these statutes are created in order to punish those who do flee or attempt to elude the police, and we can imagine that invariably, because doing so in any way, shape, or form could lead to confrontation with the police.
So your answer to my question is yes, 1 mile creates a danger. Going 1 mile, speeding up 1 mile per hour increases the danger.
Yes, where the speeding of the vehicle is what's used to demonstrate the knowing intent to the knowing fleeing or eluding of a police officer. And yes, that is a crime involving moral turpitude. But it certainly isn't the facts of this case, where the petitioner was driving at 80 to 90 miles per hour, and he did extinguish his headlamps before abandoning his vehicle in a ditch. Those were the facts of this case, and petitioner probably doesn't highlight those facts because those facts demonstrate that his conviction was a conviction for a crime involving moral turpitude. And it is true that the immigration judge and the board did consider the facts. They did so under the framework in Matter of Silva Trevino, but as indicated in respondent's brief, the court need not determine whether steps 2 and steps 3 of Matter of Silva Trevino have remained to be the law of the circuit after DeCamp and Moncrief, the Supreme Court decisions, because this statute of conviction is categorically, under step 1 of Matter of Silva Trevino, a crime involving moral turpitude, such that petitioner failed to carry his burden to demonstrate.
Would this be classified as an aggravated felony under Sykes, on your view?
Your Honor, that was not the issue in this case.
I understand that's not the issue in this case, but my question remains.
That would be a determination for the agency to make in the first instance.
No, it would not. And in any event, I'm asking for your view.
With all due respect, Your Honor, my view is of no consequence.
Look, you are a lawyer. You've been asked a question by the court. Your duty is to answer the question and not say, I'm a man of no account. You represent the United States. Answer the question.
Would this be an aggravated felony under...
Under Sykes.
Your Honor, I'd be happy to supplement later with additional filing. Ultimately, Your Honor's petitioner failed to carry his burden of proof in demonstrating that he is not inadmissible and that he is eligible for cancellation of removal, bringing his petition within the ambit of Section 242A2C of the Immigration and Nationality Act. And for that reason, respondent requested this court dismiss the petition for review. There are no further questions. He's happy to submit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr. Krenzelman, anything further?
Your Honor, just two short matters. In our brief, we did cite that in State versus Sturzinger, the Wisconsin court did find that you could be convicted under the statute for driving the speed limit. Additionally, this court, the Seventh Circuit in May, stated that their conclusion in finding that it was that vehicle flight under the Illinois statute was a crime involving moral turpitude was that they stated that we conclude when a person deliberately flouts lawful authority and recklessly endangers the officers, other drivers, passengers, pedestrians, or property, he is engaged in seriously wrongful behavior. And that requires that statement asserts that it was the fleeing lawful authority as well as recklessly endangering people. Under the Wisconsin statute, it doesn't necessarily encompass reckless endangerment.
Mr. Krenzelman, what's your answer to my question about Sykes? The Supreme Court has held that fleeing in order to avoid apprehension, vehicular flight in order to avoid apprehension, is categorically an aggravated felony. Is there any reason why that wouldn't apply to the conviction at issue here?
It may apply to the conviction, Your Honor. However, under Moncrief, I'd have to compare if there was a federal statute that was involved, and you can compare if it was a, you know, if the federal statute of fleeing a police officer would be comparable
to
the Wisconsin state statute.
As I asked Mr. Cohen for an analysis of the Supreme Court's holding in Sykes, and I should assume that that would depend on what the Supreme Court said in Sykes. Now, it may be that neither side is aware of Sykes. It's not discussed in the briefs. But you know, if a judge asks a question about a case you're not aware of, you should just say, I'm sorry, I don't know the case.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm not aware of... I know that Sykes does have to do with vehicle flight, but I'm not aware of it in reference to this particular case.
Okay, well, Mr. Krenzelman, your time has expired. We thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Your Honor.
The case is taken under advisement. Our next case for argument...